Here we are about midway through the season of Lent, that 40 days of preparation as we lead up to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. As a church, we have been looking at this book, Hard to Dance with the Devil on Your Back. We have several small groups that are studying this, and it is still not too late to join one of those groups, so you are welcome to do that. I think we have one book left downstairs if you haven't purchased it yet, so they are $8 if you'd like one. Each Sunday, we're taking one of the themes from this book and looking at it. Again, the whole idea behind the book is that as life goes on, we encounter lots of things that make it hard for us to dance. The dance of life, the dance of joy, the dance that God has for us. So each week, we look at one of those different things that makes it hard for us to dance. And so this Sunday, we look at when we wrong others. How that can make it hard for us to dance. When we sin and we hurt other people, the guilt and all those things that come upon us, the weight of that, how that can make it hard for us to dance. Last Sunday evening was the Oscars. Anybody watch the Oscars here? I know. Is Isaac Walker here? Isaac? No? He's a huge movie guy. We were actually talking about it in Sunday school last, so I know that he watched it, if nobody else did. But the Oscars, the controversy leading up to them this year is that there were only white actors and actresses nominated for awards. No Hispanics, no people of color, no African Americans, only white folks were nominated for awards. And so there was a hashtag on Twitter that trended, hashtag OscarsSoWhite. And Chris Rock was the host, who of course is African American, and he made jokes all night long about this, kind of highlighting the inherent racism, not just in Hollywood, but in our society in general. How is it that in a society as diverse as ours, that only white folks can be nominated for these prestigious awards? Racism is apparent and rampant in our society. Sin is all around us. When we look at the Oscars themselves, the movie that won the most awards was Mad Max Fury Road. Now, if you don't know this movie, that's probably a good thing. But it's about a post-apocalyptic society in which society has completely collapsed. And people are just at one another's throats. They're doing whatever they can to survive. They torture one another. They kill and maim each other. They do all these terrible things just to survive. And so it's a reminder to us that given the right circumstances, each one of us is capable of some pretty terrible things. We are all capable of hurting other people in profound ways. The Oscar that won for Best Picture was a movie called Spotlight. And it was the story of the reporters from the Boston Globe who uncovered the cover-up around all the sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. Sin is all around us. We hurt one another in deep and profound ways. Perhaps the most poignant moment of the night was when, of all people, Lady Gaga sang. She sang a song that was nominated for the best song in a motion picture. And the song was called Till It Happens to You. And it was from a documentary called The Hunting Ground. And the documentary is about sexual abuse and rape that happens on college campuses and how prevalent that is, just part of the college culture in our country. And she came out, and it's a song that she wrote, and she played on the piano, and you kind of start with a spotlight just on her, and then it widens, and you see all these other folks on the stage. Each and every one of them were victims of sexual abuse and violence. They all had messages written on their arms about overcoming the things that they had endured, about being strong and about it's not their fault and all these kinds of powerful messages. And in the end, they all stood and they held hands and they sang together, and it was a beautiful and powerful moment. But it was a reminder of some of the terrible things that we do to one another, how much we can hurt each other. How we wrong each other, how much sin is part of our life. Now, sin, of course, was no stranger to Jesus. While we believe that he himself was not sinful, he was surrounded by sinful people. And in our story today, he calls one of the sinners, Matthew, a tax collector, to be one of his 12 disciples. Tax collectors had a terrible reputation in Jesus' day. Not that it's improved too much today, but back then especially, they were thought of as just being evil to other people. They were employed by the Roman Empire, the government, to collect taxes for the government, but they could essentially tax you for whatever they wanted. And so while they might have to give $500 to the government, they would tax you for $1,000 and keep the rest for themselves. Tax collectors were despised in those days. And Jesus, after he calls Matthew, goes and eats dinner with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus surrounds himself with others who had hurt people. People who had done wrong. People who had sinned just like you and like me. The Pharisees, of course, question Jesus about this. They want a rabbi to be a holy person, not surrounded with sinners, but surrounded by good and other holy people. And Jesus responds, well, what need have the righteous of a physician? No, it's those who are sinful, those who feel that guilt, those who know the wrong that they have done. They're the ones who need grace and forgiveness. I've come for them, to offer them this word of love, of grace, and of forgiveness. Glennon Doyle Melton is a popular author and bloggist. Some of you may have heard of her. Her blog is called Momastery, a play on words of mom and monastery. And she's just really open and honest about her life and her struggles. When she was a young adult, she really struggled with addiction and hopping from relationship to relationship and all these things. And she shares about that and how her life has been turned around, but how she still struggles as a mom and as a wife. Her first book was called Carry On Warrior, and kind of the idea that, you know, you just got to push on through all the bad stuff in life. Just carry on, push on, and get through it. She has another book coming out this summer, and it's called Love Warrior. And in this book, it's more of a memoir. She reveals that her husband was unfaithful to her, and he told her about this. And the book is about her struggle to come to terms with that and whether to stay in the marriage or to leave him and just what to do in the face of this wrong and this hurt that she has endured. I saw a post on Facebook about it. I think Christy Walker put it on there. But a blog post that kind of previewed the book, and also I guess some people had some questions for her about her view on divorce. Because through all this, she's decided to stay with her husband, to stay in that marriage and in that relationship. And the blog post gets into kind of her ideas about divorce, and she says, sometimes leaving is the hardest but the best thing to do. Sometimes staying is the hardest but the best thing to do. And she talks about all these different things. But as she talked about her own struggle and her dealing with all this, I began to think about her husband in the midst of this. And I began to wonder what it is that caused him to step out on her, to be unfaithful. Why did he do that? And what was it like for him to know what he was doing? To tell her in the end, to admit to her what he'd done? I wonder what it's like for him as she writes blog posts and writes a book about this experience. I wonder what he feels. I mean, it's one thing to go through this in private, your own guilt and shame around it, but to have it broadcast to the world, imagine that just amplifies those feelings. What is their relationship like now? How does he feel towards her? How does he feel about himself? How does he feel about his relationship with God? What is it like for him to have done something so wrong to someone else, to betray the person that he loves the most in the world, to break the vows that he made at his marriage? What is it like for him? How does he deal with that? We all have moments where we do things that are wrong, that hurt other people. How do we deal with those? Sometimes it makes it hard to dance, doesn't it? Sometimes there's just this great big weight that's on us. And we're stuck. We can't move because of how we've done something to someone else. I was reminded of a story I've heard several times. I think it's popular among preachers, so you may have heard this story before, but there was a young boy who went to visit his grandparents to spend the night for the weekend with them. And their tradition was to give him and his sister a toy as soon as they arrived at their home. And so the little boy named Johnny, he got a slingshot for the first time. So he's all excited about this slingshot, and he goes off in the woods, and he's, you know, got his stones, and he's shooting at everything. He's, you know, trying to hit squirrels and robins and everything, and every time he shoots, he misses by a mile. I mean, he's not even close. Can't hit anything. He even, you know, tries bigger things like trees and an old barn, and he misses everything. His aim is terrible. It's off. So he makes his way back to his grandparents' house, and as he does, he sees his grandmother's pet duck. And, you know, he's been practicing shooting, so he hasn't hit anything, so no harm in trying to hit this duck. And he pulls back, he aims at the duck, but this time, of all times, his aim is true. And the rock hits the duck and kills it. And he looks around to make sure nobody sees, make sure his grandmother doesn't see, and he doesn't see her. But up in the window in the house, he sees his sister. She has seen exactly what he's done. He takes the duck and quickly hides it in the woodpile and goes inside and hopes that his sister won't tattletale on him, won't let his grandparents know what he's done. So the day goes on a little while, and sister hasn't said anything, and they have lunch together, and then it's time to clean the dishes after lunch. Grandmother says to Sally, his sister, "Sally, will you help me clean the dishes?" Sally says, "No, I think Johnny would like to do that." She looks over at him and kind of mouths the word duck to him. And he's like, "Oh, yes, I'd be happy to help clean the dishes. Would be glad to do that." That afternoon, the grandfather invites Johnny to go fishing with him. And Sally pipes up and says, "No, you know, I really would like to go fishing. Johnny would like to stay behind and help cook dinner." And she looks at him and mouths the word duck to him. And he says, "Oh, yeah, I'm happy to stay and help dinner, Sally. You go." This goes on all weekend. You know, every time anything comes up, Sally volunteers Johnny for it, and he does it. And in the end, it gets to be too much for Johnny. He's had a horrible time. He's just riddled with guilt. And finally, he comes out with it. "Grandma, I shot your duck with my slingshot, and it died. I'm sorry." And the grandma says, "Johnny, I know. I figured it out. And I love you. And I forgive you. But I've been wondering for 2 days how long you're going to let your sister hold this over you. How long this guilt was going to have power over you." But she'd already forgiven him. She loved him no matter what he did. And yet he let that guilt have power over him, oppress him that whole weekend. Friends, that's how it works with us as well. Jesus Christ loves us already. Jesus Christ has already forgiven us for everything that we've ever done wrong, for all the ways that we've sinned, for all the ways that we've hurt people. Jesus Christ has already forgiven us. And yet, just like Johnny, we let the power of guilt hold us down, oppress us, and keep us from dancing. Friends, the good news is that we don't have to let that happen anymore. It's almost like a Christmas present under the tree, all wrapped and nice. It's already there. It's already for us. And yet Christmas comes and we don't unwrap it. We just leave it there. That's how we treat the forgiveness that God gives us sometimes. Friends, it's time to unwrap that gift. It's time to open it up, to receive and to accept the love and the grace and the forgiveness that Christ has for us. Christ doesn't want our sins to oppress us and hold us down. Christ wants us to dance the dance of life. And so this day, if you are struggling with receiving that forgiveness, with forgiving yourself for something that you've done, Know that Jesus Christ loves you, that Christ has already forgiven you for everything you've done, that you can be set free to dance. Amen.